Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How does Joe Mazzulla make sure what happened with Chris Daspers doesn't happen again?
It wasn't Miami. It really wasn't Miami. The shots he normally was making, that he's made all year long, those shots, he just missed them. And there's nice, I don't care who you are. I've been around the best players in the world, from the Larry Birds to Hakeem Olajuwon to all kind of players. And there's some nights you can't kick it in the ocean. I mean... You've been there before. Joe Sway is just a normal pickup player where you're going, man, I make that shot all the time. I make that shot in my sleep. And then for whatever reason, the ball trickles off the rim. This NBA has been called different. In this last month and a half, a lot of calls we saw go early in the year, those calls haven't gone. So we'll see what happens. I'm still confident the Celtics are going to win this series.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, it's about that time. Another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast, but we keeping 100 here, right, Max? I'm Joseph Pavone. He is Max, so no different about this episode. It's the Boston Celtics are headed to Miami to face the Miami Heat for Game 3. The series is now tied 1-1. Miami Heat, man, what a performance against the Celtics in Game 2. 111-101, your final score. They won by 10. The three-point shot was historic for these guys. The most an opponent has ever drained at TD Garden, and one shy of their franchise history, while breaking the Celtics' playoff franchise record of 22 threes in Game 1, which was a big talking point about why the Celtics won. But then here come the Miami Heat with their response. We'll break it down. Also look across the NBA, the playoffs, about every series is about two games in at this point. So we'll talk about what's going on out west with Max. And Max, your favorite team out west, the Lakers, man. You're not gonna believe this. They're down 0-2 against the Nuggets, and they're upset about it. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first things first, Max, your biggest takeaways from Game 2 between the Celtics and the Heat. Are the Celtics potentially in trouble here? What do you say?
I don't think they are. The Heat just shot the hell out of the ball. That is beyond it. I mean, it was everybody was involved. Hightower was involved. Caleb was involved. I mean, it's like everybody on Miami Heat's team went in and knocked down a tray or two. And then Bam got going. Bam couldn't be stopped inside the paint. And it really wasn't a bad defensive effort. It was just a great offensive effort. And, sometimes you have to tip your hat to them. Coming in the back hallway, I happened to see Eric Spoelstra. And I said, congratulations.
Oh, I saw that. I saw you too, yeah.
I said, congratulations on the game, coach. And he said, thank you. And he walked two steps forward. And I said, well, I really didn't mean it. And he said, yeah, I know you didn't.
He said, yeah, no shit, Max. Of course you didn't mean it.
But you know, it was... The takeaway from that is teams get hot and there are nights when they're just going to shoot up. Can Miami sustain? I remember Sean Grandy before the game said that when Miami was shooting really well in the first half, he said, can they sustain that? He says, no way they can do that because they're not that kind of three-point threat. Well, that particular night, they did. Duncan Robinson hit them. It's like every time the Celtics got back in hailing distance, Miami was able to do something really good. You know, the fact that Pritchard did not score last night had a tough time. And Porzingis, who has been a star among stars for the Celtics, last night had his worst game. He was, at a certain point in the game, I think he was with this plus-minus thing, he was minus 33. And what we mean by that is when he was in the game, the Celtics were 33 minus. Whereas normally when Porzingis is in the game, the Celtics are always a plus. He's always a plus because he does so many things to score. But he couldn't hit shots. He couldn't get out of his way. And it just didn't happen last night. So you give Miami, you know, huge points for that. And now you have to go back and, you know, get a game or two. I wouldn't be surprised if Celtics went down there and won two games in Miami. I think that they're very, very capable, and they've done that. We've seen them win in Miami many times, so I wouldn't be surprised tonight if on Saturday and Monday if they were able to get those games. But they need to get one of those to get back on track.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Definitely. You don't want to come back here down in this series. Especially with the way you set the tone in game one. But yeah, Miami Heat, 23 three-pointers, 62% of their shots came from behind the arc. And, you know, this is the fourth time the Miami Heat have shot better than 50% against the Celtics in the playoffs. All four times were against the Celtics. So obviously there's that rivalry aspect to it, you know, in terms of like, hey, listen, just because we don't have Jimmy Butler doesn't mean you're not going to get our absolute best. And I think there's a lot of that going into game two. But you know, if you're Joe Mazzulla in the Celtics, don't you make some kind of adjustments compared to game one? I mean, listen, you can't rely on what happened in game one to happen again. And you know before the game, like, we all knew that the Miami Heat were not only going to try to take as many three-point shots as they could, but they were going to toughen up on defense. And that's exactly what we saw.
Well, I think the thing that has to happen sometimes in making adjustments is sometimes you double-team the basketball. When every time you saw the Celtics get the basketball, one thing that happened was that Miami went into a zone immediately. So Tatum or Brown couldn't get towards the hole. Jrue Holiday did not have a good game, good shooting game. Derek White finally got on the board a little bit later in the game.
Second half,
Al Horford, which has been so good. It was just so many combinations that, you know, just things went wrong. So you chalk it up at that and you get ready for the next game. And I think the Celtics are very, very capable. But Miami just hit a switch where they just knocked down shots. I mean, Hightower did not want to shoot the basketball early in the basketball game. Then he got hot. So he was knocking down shots. It was just a lot of things that happen, and but I'm sure that this coaching staff and the players will be up to the task going down to Miami.
How does Joe Mazzulla make sure what happened with Kristaps Porzingis doesn't happen again? Because the Miami Heat, Porzingis rattle like that.
It wasn't Miami. It really wasn't Miami. The shots he normally was making, that he's made all year long, those shots, he just missed them. And there's nights, I don't care who you are. I've been around the best players in the world, from the Larry Birds to Hakeem Olajuwon to all kind of players. And there's some nights you can't kick it in the ocean. I mean, you've been there before. Joe Sway is just a normal pickup player where you're going, man, I make that shot all the time. I make that shot in my sleep. And then for whatever reason, the ball trickles off the rim. Or it was a layup, finger roll, and you missed that. And you go, damn, tonight just ain't my night. Here's a guy, I was one of the, I led the league in field goal percentage twice during my career. And even with that, there were nights when it wouldn't go for me. Now, the difference between me and them is the fact that I could find myself to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And because I wasn't a jump shooter, I was able to get higher percentage shots. So in that case, maybe you want to do a few more things. And even with that, I think Porzingis tried to get towards the hole. There were several times looked like he got hit on the arm. And you know, this NBA has been called different in this last month and a half. a lot of calls we saw go early in the year, those calls haven't gone. So we'll see what happens. I'm still confident the Celtics are going to win this series.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is powered by Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less and two or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one sports app. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Derek White for more than 4.5 assists and Kristaps Porzingis for more than 8.5 rebounds. It's that easy. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. That's CLNS for a first deposit up to $100. Download Prize Picks today and make sure you use the promo code CLNS.
How much of this pressure falls on Joe Mazzulla? Because, you know, the talking point has always been nothing against Eric Spoelstra, you don't think?
It doesn't. I don't think it is, because this is more about Jason Tatum and what he can do. You know, everybody from LeBron to everybody else has already crowned him. Joe Mazzulla couldn't, even if he wins the series, he's still going to be outcoached by Eric Spoelstra. I mean, people are just going to say that because Eric Spoelstra's won a championship. So I don't think Joe Mazzulla can win that battle. And the one thing that he did tell me, as I told you before, is that I have to get the pressure off of Jason Tatum. And I said, Joe, it's impossible to do. And he's like, why? I said, because you got us right now, you know, me, social media. You know, how many times have you seen Jason Tatum on TV here in the last month, doing how many commercials on every possible milk carton? You see Jason.
Lo-fi. You got Subway. Yeah,
the Olympics. Whatever it is, Nike. That thing is going to be there. So I don't think you can do that. I think you just say, guys, just get out and play the game. There was one point in the game, I think, in the second quarter. I thought the Celtics really had a great chance. It's when Jaylen Brown came down, hit two threes in a row. Yeah. And then make another one, missed that one, made a steal. And it was just before the half. I think the Celtics were up by five. Jrue Holiday came down with the basketball with a couple of seconds on and tried to throw it to Brown instead of taking the shot. And Brown fumbled it, and it seemed like the Celtics never recovered after that.
You know, I thought there was a stretch, especially coming out of a timeout, where a play was obviously designed for Jaylen. He cut right down the middle, got a great look, got a great layup. And, you know, I thought that it was going to open the floodgates a bit. You know, I mean, Jaylen had a solid offensive performance, but I feel like in the fourth quarter, or at least in the second half of the fourth quarter, I would have loved to see Joe Mazzulla just try to get one of these guys going. And for me, it was Jaylen, at least in that fourth quarter stretch. But something about what I've seen between these two guys in games one and two, and especially with Tatum, even though I did think Jaylen was the guy in game two, sort of like, okay, let's see if we can get him going. I get the sense that Jason Tatum is just – it's one of those, like – it's like he's not stopping himself. You know, he wants to play in tune with the team and all that, but there's going to come a point – in Miami, either game three or four, where he's going to go into takeover mode. And I'm wondering if how much of that is going to be, you know, the team saying, okay, he's cooking, let him go, you know, as opposed to, hey, let's get everyone else involved. Let's do this thing together. Because I don't want to, you know, if you're Tatum, he's improved so much in that this year of getting guys involved, getting those assist numbers up and all that stuff. But man, when it comes down to the playoffs, because we've seen it before with Tatum, he's got a few of these under his belt. When it's time to take over and he's feeling it, look out. You know what I mean? It's like, get out the way and watch him go.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Right? Here's what I'd do if I was a Boston Celtic. Do what Cedric Maxwell does right now. Get away from social media. Don't even turn your TV on. If you're going to watch something, watch the Sci-Fi channel. You know, something some channel, the nature shows, like I will watch. Home Improvement. The last thing you need to do is watch some of the shows that
you were HGTV guy, Max.
Yeah. And watch the pundits and the critics. Don't watch them today, because you're gonna get nothing but beat up. And that means from top to bottom, people's gonna get beat up. And even you think about it, Brian Scalabrine was big in this, wasn't he? I keep hearing about Brian Scalabrine said that.
Oh, you know what he said about the Martin play, right? Oh yeah, we didn't talk about that.
And that might have been Cold some
Red.
That might have been some fuel, because Martin was the one that kind of got that thing going the other way. He hit some huge shots. He played
Because every time he touched the ball, they were booing him, man. Miami Heat players, they all took it personally, you know.
Yeah, and he hit some huge shots, even late in the basketball game, with Tatum standing in front of him, right in front of the Celtic bench. He knocked down a three right in his face. So I think that, you know, it's really funny how the media sometimes can influence things, because Eric Spoelstra really took offense of what Brian Scalabrine said. Brian Scalabrine said, "Code Red, take this guy out." And I just think Spoelstra is better than that. It was to me a dirty play, but not to the point where you called a timeout to say, "Go take this guy out." That happened.
Sweep the leg.
That kind of stuff happened. Yeah, that kind of stuff happened during the 80s.
I was gonna say, did Coach Finch or Casey Jones? Do you ever call a code red for you guys?
We're gonna get this asshole. If he comes around this corner, we're gonna make sure we punish him. So yeah, that was said during that time. Guys, now they don't even have that in their system right now to be that efficient or that mean spirited. But we'll see what happens.
And if they did, it'd probably issue out an apology or something like my boy J. Cole did. Man, you hear about this, Max? We'll talk about that later. But, man.
J. Cole, what happened? I'm missing everything, Joe Sway. So,
yeah, but that's your people. That's North Carolina right there.
We keep it on 100. What did J. Cole do?
Man, so, all right, long story short, I know we probably don't even – we haven't spoke on it, but – Kendrick Lamar kind of put out a verse. People took it as a diss, but it was more like a, hey man, like, you know, you guys think that I'm part of the best three rappers because Drake, J. Cole made a song saying like, oh, we're the big three, we're the best three. And Kendrick said, big three? It's just big me. So everyone's like, oh, it's a diss or whatever. So J. Cole went ahead and like made a whole song about how his albums aren't that great and all this stuff. Man, at a concert 48 hours removed from the song, hey, man, I got nothing but respect for Kendrick. I've been sick the last 2 days. I feel so bad about this song that I made about Kendrick. He's such a great artist. And the rest of the rap game is like, oh, come on, man. Like, where's the spirit of competition, man? Like, one thing to say, okay, maybe I crossed the line. But you do that in a year or two, Max. You don't do that 2 days after you drop the song. And then you don't comment on being one of the best rappers. Like, so do you take that back too? You don't think you're one of the best rappers either? The whole thing just came off as like he just got scared, as if Kendrick was gonna come back with a song that was gonna like end his career. That's how I took it. So, man, so, yeah.
Well, you know that, and you know, like the rap game, all rappers want to be basketball players, and all basketball players and athletes want to be rappers. So, telling your story, they kind of intertwine the way things have happened over the years when you think about sports. Now, you're getting over moving beyond this. When I start thinking about your guys out in L.A., the Lakers better get this. They better get this next game. They better get this next game.
And that game too is crazy.
Isn't the game tonight?
It is. Yeah, it is. But I just can't believe. Well, maybe I shouldn't say this, because this should have been on. This should have been what LeBron's about. You know what I mean? Like, he's done this in the past, I should say, throughout the regular season, about calling out the referees and particular plays. But, Max, when you blow a 22-point lead,
right,
that's not the referees on one play, Max. That's like seven things went wrong, and then that last play was like flip a coin. But you got there for a reason. It wasn't the referees.
You're lucky for saying LeBron's better. He's much better.
He is, Max. He really is.
He's one of the greatest players ever to play the game. But LeBron, did you not realize that you missed a three, a wide open three
at the
end of that game which could have almost sealed that game for your team. And he did address it later on and say, yeah, we got to make shots. But he referred to something that happened in the third quarter, you know, and saying when D'Lo got hit in the face. Okay. And then he went from that to what happened in New York, you know, with the Knicks, and just complaining and saying, I love his line, though. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah, that's pretty funny. It's pretty funny, especially because the New York thing had just happened. That was the same night of the New York.
If I was playing game. Right now, if I was playing right now, and I was going at LeBron, and if I was that kind of, you know, real player,
which you were,
I saw it scoring on him, I'd be going, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
Like a 12-0 run, LeBron. What are we doing here?
What are y'all doing here? What's going on? Because I mean, the pressure is squarely on their shoulders tonight. And Anthony Davis. Here's the thing about that game. Anthony Davis played great.
Yeah,
he was great. LeBron was great. D'Lo.
He hit back to back two big back to back shots, but you know, in the end,
D'Lo was great. But there was a time that. Whatever happened, that 20-point lead went bye-bye. Mm-hmm. And you were in a dogfight. And, you know, and at that point, I'm not sure if they had the reporter was saying, I heard the guy saying they had a foul to give. I don't know if they did or not. Maybe they did not have a foul to give. But I was wondering why this comedian was saying that. He said, LeBron, if you're the GOAT, he said, you're the GOAT, you get over there and take Murray. You push Anthony Davis over there. You should have been the guy over there. I got this. When they come off this pick, it's me and him. Heads up.
Right.
I got this.
So, but Max, you couldn't guard that shot any better, man. Like, he was falling down and he made that shit.
Here's what I do. I give huge marks right now to the guy who was on the bench in Denver. He might have been an assistant coach or trainer or something. Who ended up catching Anthony Davis.
Oh, yeah. He fell to the bench.
Caught it. And he was in the melee. He was trying to get out of it. But he was right in the middle of everything that happened.
Yo, are they celebrating on top of Anthony Davis? Yeah. I didn't see him. He disappeared. Yeah.
Trainer actually caught him and held him up. So he couldn't fall. I mean, that was a good sign of sportsmanship because during the 80s, they'd let his ass fall all wherever you go.
They would have been like,
wherever you going, they'd been moving out the way. You remember when Shaq did that when he was playing with?
With the Suns. The Suns got out the way.
But then dove over and then one time the ball went over there, and then he got, like he was going to run, and all the players jump out the way. Shaq just stopped and looked at him. Really, dudes.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Who would sit there and take a 600-pound elephant coming towards you? And there's metal and you and Shaq and his body flying towards you full speed. I don't know who's going to sit there and take that pressure.
I'm dying because I would respond like that. Shit, fucking fall, fucking 5'8", but my shit, I'm getting out of the way. But I'm like, this dude's like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", like you guys don't.
But it was players and coaches.
Everybody
moved out the way. And Shaq just stopped and went, really? Really, guys? Really? So, I mean, it's just that those things do happen. But the NBA is really right now, they've gotten it right. I mean, because I look at some of the other games have been out there. Anthony Edwards, who has been unbelievable, did not have a really good game, but he got carried by his teammates in Minnesota to win that game. So I'm really curious to see what happens over the next couple of days, tonight in particular. But you know what? It is what it is right now, and this is NBA basketball at its best.
My favorite moment so far that series is when he did go off. It was game one. He was just going off, and he just mouthing off like Durant, like, yep. I'm that dude. Like, yo, it's my time, young. I mean, old man, it's my time. And Durant's sitting there smiling. He couldn't even talk trash back. He just like, all right.
Well, Durant smiled. He he responded because he had 37 points himself.
Yeah,
he responded.
True.
It was the other guys like, you know, Beal and Booker who did not really have the game set. So, you know, they're gonna have to have games. I was excited about the Celtics possibly winning, but now, you know, maybe this is a good wake up call for this team. And don't be like Joe Sway, start thinking about South Beach, you know. The team is doing something really good. They're going down on a Friday, and then we're leaving right after the game on Monday. So whatever happens, there'll be no celebration at all, and the game is, you're going to get the fifth game back here in Boston.
Absolutely, Max. And before we wrap up the playoff talk, Milwaukee and the Pacers. Bucks and Pacers are tied up 1-1. Series is going back to Milwaukee. Still no Giannis. But how do you feel about this team in this series? No, you don't think it's it? I mean, Lillard had a heck of a performance.
Well,
games, but then they tied it up.
He had 35 in the first half, and ended up with 2 points, I think, in the next half. He needed that. They'll need that kind of production. I just don't think that they have enough weapons right now. Milwaukee had gotten beat 4 out of 5 times by Indiana. And one time that they did win, I think that's when Giannis had the 60 piece. So, you know, this team matches up extremely well, with what they can do. So I'm going to be very curious to see what happens in this next game. That game's tonight, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Me too, man.
NBA is just giving you game after game after
game. That's the best part about the first round, man. We got these games tonight.
So it's going to be kind of nice to see all this. But, guys, it is and you always make it such a pleasure for you, the guys, come on with us. We're so thankful. The young gentleman that came up to me in Nordstrom's Rack yesterday just said, "Man, I watch you and Just Way all the time. I love your podcast." You guys got a fan right now in Indiana. So, and we know this is some worldwide stuff that and we're so thankful that you guys would take your time to come on and listen to our podcast. And again, Most thanks to you. Most thanks.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate the support. Appreciate, obviously, the likes and all that. I know a couple of these tweets out there sharing the episode and all that stuff, man. It all goes a long way. So we really appreciate that. And you know what, Max? Before we wrap up, though, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about last Saturday in Boston, the Big Four. Man, 1984 champion Celtics reunited the Big Four. You, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird. Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, you had your boy in the house, Robert Parrish. Just what was that like seeing those guys again?
It was great being back in company with those guys. I think we have not been together since maybe 1984. So to get back with them and just chop it up a little bit was really cool. We'll probably end up doing it again at Dick's Sporting Goods. Your guy, Nick Joso, came in and, he asked a question. And this is the guy who is the grand poopah of this podcast company. He came and asked a question, probably was one of the dumbest questions I've ever heard in my life. He looks at me and says, "Max, how is it being back in Boston?" "Nick, what the hell are you talking about? I work for you and I live here. I do the Southern games."
Only been living here for 25 plus years, but all right.
but give him credit. He was so. Then I had a chance to do
Starstruck, man.
I got a chance to get Nick Joso a picture with Larry Bird. Matter of fact, we'll get my mom. We'll see if we can get him to put this picture up. I mean, there couldn't have been no more cheesing that Nick did. And when he went up to Larry, I said, "Nick, don't make this weird, okay? It's just, he was like,
"Man, that's the happiest I've ever seen Nick, man." Good for him.
I feel like I had to take a Xanax, man, to go in and meet the guys. But the event was a great event. Had a chance to talk to Robert. and Kevin, and I think we're going to end up having them together on the podcast.
Yeah,
and Mr. Bird, if you'd like to join us on this podcast, you'd be more than welcome. But
we'd love that.
I got a commitment right now from those two guys, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. We're going to have them in the upcoming weeks.
Yes, 100%, man. That would be epic. I want to hear those classic stories, man. You got to make sure. We got to remind them, hey, this isn't any other podcast you've ever been on or any type of show, man. We keep it on 100 here. So, they'll do no less.
I had Robert Parrish on before, and he kept it on 100. So
yeah, he did. Oh, that was one of the funniest interviews, man. Guys, you want to check that out? It was so good. There's a best of episode, and he's on there for sure, man. Champions only, I call it. Celtics champions only. So you can check that out as well. But yeah, man, I thought that was really cool seeing you guys all together like that. What a turnout! The brand new Dick's Sporting Goods store inside the Prudential.
I wonder how many people. Not many people there. It was 3,000 or 4,000?
At least, I'd say.
It was
packed. Huge store. If it was a regular store, it would have looked way more packed. But like the way it was surrounded, you had people staring at you guys like you were guys in a fish tank. It was crazy. Like, people were just, everyone had the cameras out. It was wild.
I mean, it was, and I've been in this kind of setting before, but it makes me appreciate Larry Bird, who he is, that much more. With every step he took, a camera popping in his face, and people screaming at Larry, Larry. It was just kind of crazy to see. So
it was, man. It was a heck of a scene. But with that, we wrap up this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. He's Cedric Maxwell. I am Joe Pavone. We got another special guest coming up next week. I guess we'll announce it when we get closer to it.
Yeah,
that I'm really, really excited about. And of course, we'll certainly be having a couple of Celtics legends, maybe three Celtics legends, if we can convince the third to hop on this podcast for sure, man. But that's going to do it. You already know, subscribe, like, review. It really does help us here. And thank you for the support, all you listeners and viewers. We'll see you guys next week.